Hi, this is Salve Rebuilder, and you're listening to the Face-to-Face Podcast.
It sucks, I still think Mabel Shay's the bomb.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. This is Kristen and I'm with my co-Mabel Jessica.
Hello everybody.
And this is the first episode of February.
Yeah.
So in February we had this idea to do some punk rock love stories. Like punk rock love stories, hate stories, breakup stories, good stories, romantic stories, sexy stories. Whatever people wanted to share. And so I put a call out on Instagram for people to share stuff, and we got some interesting stuff back. Yeah. which was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. We got to hear some really funny things, so I'm excited to do these next few podcasts.
Yeah. So this first one is going to be with Sarah. And just the reason I decided to ask Sarah to be a guest on our podcast is because she put this funny thing on Facebook where she said, "All right, so I just went out with this guy. He's really nice. He's really cute. He seems almost out of my league, kind of like he's really cute. But he just said he likes the band Linkin Park and he doesn't like ska. And he made fun of me for liking ska."
Oh, God.
And so all these people responded with, like, "Go out with him again. He deserves another chance." Or, "Don't go out with him again." Or, "Don't go out with anyone that doesn't, that likes Linkin Park." Or,
yeah, like, is Linkin Park's the deal breaker?
Right. I think I said something like, okay, if he's a 9 or a 10, mm-hmm. Linkin Park's fine. But if he's, you know, less than that, then no.
Yeah.
Linkin Park's the deal breaker.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because in the punk rock scene, or as a female who loves punk rock, it's not always easy to find someone else who's into the same kind of music as you, right? It's not like being like, "I love classic rock," because everybody loves classic rock. And people have a really preconceived idea of what punk rock is. Like, I remember hanging out with this guy one time and he was like, "Oh, it's just a whole bunch of screaming and everything sounds the same." And it's just like, fuck off. No, that's Linkin Park. So,
yeah.
So it's hard. And I know that,
it's really hard.
It is.
Yeah. And it's kind of like how important is it to you to find a significant other that likes the same type of music as you? Like, for some people, that's maybe a deal breaker. And for other people, it's a non-issue. Like,
I feel like it's really important.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you can, like, if there's 10 guys lined up in front of me and they all have the exact same attributes, qualities on paper, and one of them likes punk, he would win hands down. Like, it's that much of a,
mm-hmm.
or even if he was less than the other guys, but like punk, I mean, you know, that's probably what I would go for, because it's such a passion, and to share that with someone is very cool.
But I don't know, in my 20s, I got burned pretty bad by some punk rock guys.
Right. Right. I mean, there's assholes everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. It's hard. I mean, dating is hard anyways. I didn't get married until I was 30, so I dated all through my 20s, and I have, like, horror stories of dating. Well, I mean, lots of really good people and lots of really bad people. Like, I just,
yeah.
You know, I was single living in Boston my entire 20s, and I dated a lot and have a lot of interesting stories to share. And I think we said we were going to get into that at some point.
We will when we get courageous. Today.
Exactly.
Well,
Sarah said something about interviewing us, which would be kind of funny.
Yeah, we do have that in the works, that Sarah's going to turn the tables on us and interview us. So whatever she comes up with will be pretty interesting.
Yeah. You know what I wanted to tell you? This is along the lines of punk rock love. But so Fat Mike, I mean, he fascinates me anyways. And he's one of my favorite artists and stuff. And he doesn't do interviews or podcasts very much, but he, for some reason, has really taken a liking to Doug Stanhope, who is mm-hmm. a comic. I don't know if you know Doug Stanhope.
Yeah.
He's a really, like, off-color comic, you know, and for some reason, he and Fatty met, and they have a lot in common, and so he's been on Doug Stanhope's podcast a couple times now, and I was listening to the latest episode that just came out, I don't know, within the last couple months, and just most people probably know, but just here's the backstory. Fatty was married to Aaron Burkett for 18 years, and they created Fat Records. They have a daughter together that, you know, I think he even said, like, she was the first person he loved or had sex with or something. Like, there was, there's something. But he was really, really young when he met her, and they were married for a really long time. And he's very open in the book, Hepatitis Bathtub, about how that relationship didn't work out and why that didn't work out. So you should read that because it's interesting. But anyway, so he and Aaron divorced, and they seem to have a really good working relationship and co-parenting relationship from... I don't know them. I'm just totally speculating what, you know, seems to be the case. But on the Doug Stanhope episode, so then Fatty got married to Soma, who is an adult. She's an adult film actress, but also she's a BDSM
model.
Yeah.
Her Instagram's so super hot.
It's hot, but it's a lot of BDSM and sadomasochism.
I love how I say it's super hot, and then you went, but
it's
our two different personalities there. Not that I'm like all about that, but anyway, right. Moving on.
No,
keep
that's
going.
True.
Keep going.
Yeah, no, it's true. Some people are totally turned on by that, and some people aren't. And
do you know how expensive latex is? Like when she put.
No shit. And
latex outfit is like hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, and her heels, she'll have like these crazy heels. And they owned a dungeon together. Like so she and Fat Mike were really into this together and apparently fell in love, and they got married about a year ago. And then they just broke up, which was surprising to me because they seemed like the perfect couple to me. Like, they're both into the same things, and she's beautiful, and they seemed really happy. And so it was kind of a shocker to me, and I think to other people who are fans of theirs, that they broke up. Anyways, on the Doug Stanhope podcast, Fat Mike actually talks a little bit about the breakup, which is fascinating. But I want to get your take on this. I was shocked. This was like a mouth dropper when I heard this. He goes, you know, Doug Stanhope says something like, yeah, you're going through a divorce. That must hurt, you know, must hurt a lot. And Fat Mike goes, well, it doesn't hurt as bad as the one that was 18 years. That's the one that hurt. This one doesn't hurt very much.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa.
Whoa.
right I mean, Fat Mike has a tendency to just kind of like say whatever's
out. But it, I mean,
belt
I
it out.
So he's just like, how I interpreted that is that maybe he's just saying that, like, first love, that mother of your child, that super long relationship, like, that really hurts. The shorter relationship, maybe not so much. Maybe it was all about sex, the second one with Soma. I don't know, like, we're not part of the marriage, but that's just totally my our outsider gossip punk rock, you know, opinion.
I thought it would be fun. We don't usually do this, but I thought
we
it would
don't.
Be fun to just kind
we
of
don't. But it's like, it's true.
For
I mean,
a minute,
it would hurt for anybody to be like, oh, that didn't hurt. You know, like for an ex to be like,
in
no
the middle
big deal.
Of a divorce. In the middle of a divorce, he's like, yeah, it didn't hurt. My other relationship, that hurt a lot. This one, not so much.
Like, we all have those feelings about different relationships. We just don't announce it in public. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Right? Like, some hurt more than others. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. But it's hard. I feel for him going through, for anyone in the public eye, going through breakups and having relationships and how people scrutinize them and analyze them and being asked about them publicly.
Yeah, that would be awful.
And that sort of thing. I know. So I was listening to that, and I was just kind of like, whoa.
So we've talked to, it's funny because I was listening to a podcast yesterday. We've talked about before how we listened to Small Town Murder, and Small Town Murder, the guys on the podcast also have another one called Crime and Sports, and every episode is a different athlete who has committed some heinous crime, and they profile the athlete and then the crime, and so, but with comedy. And so the episode yesterday was about this Norwegian ski jumper, and who was married, and he was like this top athlete in the world, and he was like a big partier, like big time partier, like boozer, and he'd like be drunk and then ski jump, like crazy things like that. And he was going through a divorce with his first love, and right before one of his jumps, a reporter said to him, so we hear that you and your wife are getting a divorce, like what's happening with that? And his response, and like it was quoted, was, well, I think about pussy all the time, but let's get this ski jump done first.
Oh my god.
So that's what, that's priorities. Worse than what, that's worse than what Fatty said. Like, not yeah. I don't want to talk about that, not yeah, it's awful, it was I think about pussy right. all the time.
Oh my god, guys are so stupid.
They are. I mean, they're I yeah I'm not I'm I could I'm yeah biting my tongue.
I know, right?
I was gonna say, like, someday they get the blame, they get the blame for being stupid, and we get the blame for being crazy.
That's true,
right?
That's true.
And I mean, yeah, we're all a little bit of both,
to be like, guys are dumb,
mm-hmm. and girls are crazy, but all right. stereotypes are based on something.
That's true. They have a little smidgen of truth in there somewhere, right. All right, so let's get to this interview with Sarah. So, and I want to tell people that you're gonna love Sarah. Like, she's another co-Mabel that's just like fits in with us, and she's funny, mm-hmm. and she's sweet, and she. I feel like I want to give out her phone number.
I know.
Oh, on the air, because how are guys not banging down her door?
She's amazing. I would date her.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She's funny. She's down to earth. She's
outdoorsy.
Music. Yeah.
She's gorgeous. Yeah,
she's willing to like go do stuff and
yeah.
Yeah. She's the total package, guys. If you want her contact info, DM us directly and we'll give it to you, probably, unless you're crazy.
But and
yeah.
You will hear when you listen, people will hear when they listen to this interview with her, is that she's all those things that we just said, but she's also very, 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 very nice. And you will know this by the story she tells and how she handled the situation, because a lot of people would not handle this horrific situation the way she did.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
That's all the details we're going to give out. You have to listen.
Yeah. So we're going to get kind of lovey mushy in February and talk about some punk rock love stories and relationships and all that kind of stuff. And so this is our first one. This is Sarah. She is single, but she's been through some really funny dating situations, and
yeah.
she's gonna share them. And we have some other fun dating relationship stories coming up. And if you have something that you want to share, you can DM us or put it on Instagram or whatever. And
email us, whatever.
If you have a funny story, we could share it. Like, we could read it. If you don't want to be a guest on our podcast, we could always read your story.
Yes.
On our podcast.
Or if you have, like, amazing punk rock love story. Like, if someone has this, like, phenomenal punk rock love story, please, please, please send it to us, because we want to share that kind of stuff. So...
yeah. Totally. We're girls. We like that kind of stuff.
Somebody make me a punk rock love mixtape. Just like I'm 14.
Okay, I will. I'll do that today.
Okay. Again, another mushy episode where people think we're lesbians because we're like, we love each other.
I'm going to make you a punk rock love mixtape.
That was the best thing about being a teenager. I can tell you all the songs that should be on it. And there's like... because I still have some of those punk rock mixtapes and CDs. When a boy made you a punk rock love tape, like mixtape?
Yeah.
God, putty in your hands. Throw a skateboard in his hands and I'm like, let's get married.
Right.
At 14, I mean, like that was like punk rock and a skateboard. You are my soulmate. Exactly.
Yeah.
Too funny. Okay, well, I hope everybody enjoys this interview with Sarah, because we adore her. And And she's super cool, and we had a lot of fun with this one. And there'll be more coming up with her in the future, so.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. All right. Well, this is Kristen and Jessica, of course. And our guest for this segment of the podcast is Sarah Daigle. Hey, Sarah.
Hello, ladies.
We are so glad that you're with us tonight.
Thanks for having me. I'm a big fan. I've been listening to you guys quite a bit these days.
Are you a fan of our awesome technology that's 1, 2, 3, hit the button, hit the button?
Yeah, it's a little beyond my, it's a little beyond me there. We got it though. I think we're recording right now.
Imagine like when you're interviewing somebody that you have admired for 20 years and you're trying to say like, okay, we're going to interview you, but you know, you got to follow our instructions. And our instructions are 1, 2, 3, hit the button, hit the button.
The reason we started it was because there's a lag between our time zones. And so like that, I really feel like we'll have to release the clip one day of the very first couple episodes of Mabel Syndrome where we came up with that technology, and Kristen and I figured out there was a lag because we were clapping like in rhythm, and she'd be like, she'd clap like this and then she'd go, okay, clap in beat with me. And every time she clapped, I'd open my hands and we were opposite. And she kept saying to me, don't you know how to keep a beat? And I was like, I'm doing it. And we actually have the video saved somewhere. I feel like that we should release it. Did we release it?
We actually have a lot of outtakes that we need to release, Jess.
Oh, God. Yeah, and believe it or not, they're worse. They're worse than our episodes.
I know. People are like, aren't your episodes your outtakes?
Oh, my God. We've had a couple serious shit shows, that's for sure.
Well, we're all drinking tonight, right? This is like Friday night girls'
time. Yeah. Cheers.
What are you drinking, Sarah?
Cheers. I am drinking a Guinness, and I'm about to open another one. What are you drinking?
Who drinks two Guinnesses?
I do. Like, I love
maybe
dark
like
beer.
Four.
Oh, I get so full. What are you drinking, Kristen?
Yeah, I get full, but I still love it. So I'm drinking the Not Your Father's Root Beer. Have you guys had that? Mm.
Yeah, it's delicious. Mm-mm.
Oh, it's so... You haven't had it, Jess?
No.
Have you had alcoholic root beer?
Yes. Heyer's Root Beer just came out with an alcoholic root beer here. And I bought one and I drank it extremely fast because it tastes like root beer.
Yeah.
But you guys all know that... I mean, if you listen to the show, you A, think I'm an alcoholic. I'm not. And B, most people understand that when you buy an alcoholic beverage that you don't add stuff to it, and I almost always add vodka. So the root beer to me seems like I would add vodka.
I did one time. I added like a vanilla vodka and it tasted like a root beer float.
What's the percentage on the alcoholic
low. I'm
root
sure
beer?
It's 5.9.
Hashtag Wait. Almost a waste of time.
Almost just a regular root beer.
What's a normal beer? I don't even know.
Like 5.
Okay. Well, we can like, add boost to it when you ladies get here for punk rock bowling. How about that?
Should we see what do you guys want to see what I'm drinking?
Is it Crown?
Yeah. Clown oil?
Well, my other option that might still be behind me was Sailor Jerry, and I'm like, no, I can't be hammered talking to them.
Oh. That's next
there's time. There's been a couple podcasts. I can't remember which one it was. Oh, I think it was the Beer Guys podcast, and by the end of the podcast, I was like, what?
Uh-huh. And maybe the one with Jack? Was it the one with Jack?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jack and I. Yeah, that happened too. And then there's been a couple where I didn't, but I called you later and went, was I slurring?
Right. Yeah, no, you never
I get sound. Nervous. I get nervous.
Yeah. Well, plus it's just more fun to be uninhibited and just talk.
Yeah.
I have a rule of like, I have a little bit of social anxiety. Like, I won't go to a show without having at least 2 drinks to get me in the door, and then I'm okay. Like, a couple drinks.
Right.
Just, warms you right up.
Also known as Mabel Syndrome.
That's
this
right.
is perfect.
We're doing, I'm sure we're going to talk about this in the intro, but Sarah's our first guest for our February Valentine's episodes. We're doing all February some episodes to do with like love and dating and horrible things about love and dating.
The good, the bad, the ugly, all of it.
Yeah. So Sarah's our first guest for this. And I got to say that I'm pretty excited about it because we were all friends on Facebook first, as with everybody else that, you know, we've connected with. But Sarah's posts on Facebook always make me laugh. Like, you know, you always have these like couple friends on your Facebook that's like, every single time they post on Facebook, you're like, how are you always this funny? That's Sarah.
It's not me that's funny, though. It's my life that's funny. It's totally accidental. I can't take the credit for that.
No, but funny people can find humor in their life, you know? Like, serious lame people or don't think that the funny stuff's funny. So the fact that you call attention to it and, you know, make a joke about it is awesome. And also you've done some Instagram takeovers for us, and you did one at Punkin' Drublic. And so you went like 2 weeks after I went and talk about social anxiety. I took like zero pictures with anybody. I have a couple, maybe stories or something from side stage, but I didn't have the balls to take pictures with anybody or even like barely talk to anybody. So then you come along a couple weeks later and you're posting all these awesome pictures with all the people that I wanted to do. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited for you. Like I'm just like, I don't know, proud's not the right word, but just excited for you that you were able to do that and like had the balls to do what I couldn't do.
I had a pretty interesting upbringing that makes me approach people that I like. My dad's a rock and roll tour bus driver. It's like my entire life, you're raised to appreciate people and make them like, I don't like to bug people. Like I don't want to linger around and like piss them off, but like make them feel welcome, make them feel like it's worthwhile to be away from their friends and family. And like, you know, hey, I really like your music. Can I get a picture with you? I wish the old days would come back where like they still had the black and white picture and you could be like, hey, can you autograph this? But now we got selfies. But it was a cool day for sure. I haven't really been to a cooler festival with a kind of backdrop like that. Like watching that sunset over the ocean, I was like, man, this is really cool.
That's awesome.
Okay, so you got to go back to the tour bus driver thing. So who was your dad the driver for?
So I think that's kind of why we've all come to now know each other. Face to face, like the reason I am who I am as an adult was I think like I was introduced to cool shit when I was like 8. He drove Face to Face and Goldfinger, Save Ferris, whom like to this day I still adore. Things like that. You know, he still drives, but now he gets like bigger bands, and for him, good for him, it's better money and bigger tours. But yeah, he's been doing that since I was like in elementary school. So it's been an interesting upbringing.
So was he this like 40 or 50 year old man with all the, with driving the bus for these kids, for these like 20 year old kids?
You know, most of it was for sure. And now he's onto like bigger, more, you know, like I'm trying to think of who he's done recently, like a couple years ago, like AC/DC and like bigger tours. But yeah, like when his younger days, for sure, it was bands that I love, my brothers love. So,
so then he would bring you along?
As a kid, we definitely get to like go see them growing up in New Hampshire and Maine and New England. Like we'd go down to Boston shows or Saratoga Springs in New York or Maine or wherever, whatever the band was playing. So definitely it would be cool to like meet bands that you love as a kid and you don't realize that you're gonna like 20 something years later.
Was anyone a total dick?
That's amazing.
So the only man to ever fire my dad was Mike Ness.
Why?
So now that we're friends on Facebook, anytime like I'm at a social D show, you'll notice that my dad comments bad girl, and then he just like two words. Like he I don't know. It's
so
cool, though.
So did they have a falling out, or?
We always compare my dad's stories to, like, the movie Big Fish, where, like, there's truth to the story, but he's a storyteller. Like, I think the rumor has it they were running behind, and he wanted to stop at some, like, antique store in, like, Iowa or some middle of nowhere place, and my dad said no because they were already late for the show or something, and I think his version was, like, by the next stop. There's already another driver waiting, but, you know, who knows how true that is.
Oh,
but,
my God. Fantastic.
There, you know, I don't know how much truth is to that story, but.
Was there anyone that he really enjoyed meeting or working for?
He's kind of like a jaded old dude who just, it's his job and he gets done. But then there's there's me, and I meet the people that I adore, and I'm like, hi, I'm Sarah. Nice to meet you. You know, like. I'm a really big fan.
But you were a little girl at the time, so they were probably just like, oh, hey, like, not, no big deal.
So with Face to Face, God, I'm so young that I don't remember the details, but I have the poster still from when he drove them, and it was the live album. Like 98 or something? And I have this memory, I think it was like at the Avalon in Boston, when it was still, I think, the Avalon. And they sang happy birthday to my brother on stage. My brother's birthday is only 4 days before mine. I'm like, oh, you bastard. I want them to sing Happy Birthday to me, asshole.
Tell us, like, who are some of your favorite bands?
My favorites compared to, like, who I listen to regularly right now is definitely, like, varying. Probably my all-time favorite band is Kings of Nothing. They're from Boston. They used to be the Boston Blackouts. Fucking love them. If people who are listening haven't listened to them yet, you need to. I love Dark Buster, The Slackers, Noise, The Creep Show. I think I'm wearing their hoodie now. Yeah.
So you love, like everything, though. Street punk, like crusty street punk kind of stuff.
But at the same time, like Westbound Train is one of my favorites. Like I love ska and soul punk.
Yeah.
You know, most of my regularly listened to things are more ska-ish. And punk. But honestly, like sometimes if you're in my car with me and it's on shuffle, you'd be like, what the fuck, Sarah? Like I'll start rapping to Mystical from the 90s.
Yeah, we do too.
Kristen can rap better than most women I've ever met.
Oh, thank you, Jessica.
She's amazing. When we did our road trip together this summer, we spent like 14 hours a day driving and hanging out and stuff. There was a few sessions of like looking over her and going like she is my soulmate, like she is definitely my soulmate, because we went from like singing along to like Off With Their Heads and Face to Face to like,
see, I love them,
watching her like rap to like, you know, Salt and Pepper and Eazy-E. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing.
Solid choices.
And you know what's
and it sounds like you'd fit right in.
So we're having you on this like dating punk rock love segment because you have some pretty funny stories about dating and trying to meet somebody. It's hard to find like a really nice, good guy that happens to like the same kind of music that we do, because, you know, it's nice, like it's a bonus. Of course, you don't have to, like, you're not going to necessarily fall in love with somebody that loves punk rock, but like it's a bonus kind of, you know, like if you can find somebody that loves the same kind of music you do, they're like a shoe-in. You know?
Have you ever seen the movie High Fidelity?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's that quote that it's like books, records, films. What is it? These are the things that matter or something. Like, call me shallow or something. And I'm like, yes. Like I've dated the opposites attract thing so many times and it works. But at the same time, like I never want to go to a shitty metal show again or a hippie jam band show again. You know, like for me, I've always lived two lives. Like when I lived in Breckenridge, Colorado, I would have to commute down to Denver multiple times a week to go see shows. So then I'd start dating guys in Denver, but then they don't ski or snowboard. So like, you know, I was living two lives. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't always, you don't always have to have everything in common with someone, but it's nice, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't want to go to a jam band show ever again.
I collect, I love cards, like greeting cards.
Yep.
And whenever I see a card in a store that I really love, I tend to buy like a handful of them. So I can like keep one, mail one, give one to a friend. And one of my all time favorite cards is this. And I had like four of them, and it's like a stack of albums and cassettes and stuff. And on the front, it says, "All my favorite songs sound like you."
Oh,
and I'm like, ugh,
that's so romantic.
I know, but it's like that's sort of like that's what it just reminded me of. Like having that kind of connection with someone is huge, right? Or having even someone that goes like, I'm not really sure, but like let's give it a shot. Like I'll go to a punk rock show with you, or you know what I mean? Instead of being like, oh, punk rock, skinheads, rah rah rah, and you're like, no.
Well, the one that triggered...
What is on your, like, wish list, Sarah? Like, if you could talk about, like, your perfect guy.
Well, I've never dated that person. this is... Oh, man. This is going to sound...
Because you're single,
This is going to sound so shitty at first until I describe it, but I wish I could find, like, the male version of myself. Like, my best friend. Bless you. Thank you. You know, it's, like, it's easier to entertain someone... My wish list is like a goofy personality. I have the sense of humor of a teenage boy. Like, bad. And like I a feel similar like interest. Sup. And then the other thing is, like, especially here in Vegas now that it's more convenient, I go to shows a lot. So it'd be kind of nice to have someone who has the similar music taste. But again, my music taste really is all over the place. And then, you know, in a dream world, someone who's adventurous. Like, I mean, you ladies have seen, like, I up and pack up my car multiple times a month and I go camping or go hike somewhere or bike somewhere, ski or snowboard. Like, someone who can play. Mm-hmm. Essentially, I act like a teenager and I'm 30. You know, I'm looking to finally settle down. Like, I think I'm, like, finally ready to date after a few year hiatus of, like, taking time to myself. But obviously, you know, like, everyone has this vision of, like, their type. And I don't think a type actually exists. Like, you meet the right person and you make compromises, of course. But that'd be pretty cool to meet someone that likes the stuff I like.
So without getting into specifics, though, like, I don't know. Like, I'm married, so it's beyond the point. But, like, if I were single, I would have mixed thoughts about dating someone in a band, right? Like, so just hypothetical, if you met a guy in a band that you really liked, would that, I mean, how do you feel about that? Is it scary? Is it something that's scary? Is it something that you would consider? I don't know.
You ladies know a little bit of information. I've never been interested in musicians before. It's just not my type. I appreciate them for their talent. To me, their lifestyle is not something I'd aspire to keep up with.
Do you feel like it's because, maybe now that we know a little bit about how you grew up, do you feel like you've kind of seen that side of it? Like the being on the road all the time and kind of the behind the scenes stuff that you're like, I don't think I want that lifestyle? Or,
I mean, it's not something I'd ever rule out, but it's just never been my type. And more recently than not, I thought, I had, you know, was interested in someone, they pursued me. And just exactly like I expected, I let my guard down. And then I had to find out from social media that they're dating a 20-year-old across the world. So, yeah. You know, it's just not it's not my type. And I'm a pretty confident person. I'm extremely independent. I've done, like, on and off for like 8 years long distance relationships where I'm used to only maybe seeing someone maximum one time a week. And I'm okay with that. But I don't have the confidence to have to, like, sell my worth. You know what I mean? That sounds bad. I don't want to turn it to, like, a dark conversation at all. But, I actually mean it very lighthearted. Like, you know, I appreciate musicians for the beautiful art that they make. I just don't ever find them attractive in that regards. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
I like me a manly man. You know, you can build a home or get your hands dirty. Or if you're, like, a welder, or you come out, you know, covered in oil.
I present you a gift, my lady.
So have you had any, like, dating horror stories?
Oh, girl. Let me preface what I'm about to tell everyone with, I'm an extremely nice person. Once people get to know me, like, I'm the type that says please and thank you so much. A little goes a long way with me. Like, if someone buys me a beer, I'm like, thank you so much. And I immediately have to buy them another beer. Like, I'm very nice.
Are you Canadian?
I get mistaken for being Canadian often. I also, being from Maine, I didn't pick up the Boston accent. So yes, we might as well just call me Canadian.
Cute.
So this story I'm going to preface again with me being very nice. And I'm also going to say what I'm about to tell you is very, very real. And I had two witnesses that can tell you that this fully happened in the exact detail. So if there's any Colorado listeners, there's this beautiful hike called Hanging Lake. It's like this picturesque, serene little landscape that looks fake. It's so pretty. So this guy on Tinder, this is like 4 years ago, 3 years ago, was like, what are you doing tomorrow? And I was like, oh, I'm hiking Hanging Lake with some friends. And he chimed in saying, you know, I'm born and raised in Colorado and I've actually never done that hike before. Can I tag along? And my friend Chris and Heather are super cool. They wouldn't, you know, judge me for taking a date. They're easygoing and they'd make him feel comfortable and everything. So flash forward the next day, he arrives in Breckenridge. My friend Chris is running late, so we stop for a coffee, sit along at this little Riverwalk park and sip our coffee, drink some water. Chris gets out of work and we hit the road. I get on I-70, I get pulled over for speeding, and this guy is like doing this awkward wiggle. Now you ladies can see me right now, everyone else can't, but like, it's like the awkward thing. Like the next step he could have done was actually put his hand on his crotch and pinched. Like, he was wiggling and I'm like, why isn't he just saying something? So to make it a little easier for him, I'm like, hey, I have to pee. Why don't I pull off at Vail, go pee? I didn't have to pee, but whatever.
Oh my God.
So the delay of getting pulled over delayed us like 10 minutes. So by the time we get going again, I mean, he's really moving. I get to Vail, and because I used to work there, I knew that like the first two exits are like condos. I'm like, oh shit, we have to go to the third exit. So you pull off and there's a gas station there, and you pull up to the gas pump and hit a pothole, and he opens the door to run out. Like the car's still pretty much in motion. He goes, oh my God, I'm peeing. And now I thought it was going to be like a little squirt, like a little, psh, psh, you know, no.
Like, wait, oh my God, I'm peeing. Oh my God, I'm peeing. I'm not out of the car yet.
Oh my God, I'm peeing as he is like flash and he like runs out around the corner because I thought the bathroom was around the corner. Now I didn't think much of it because okay, this is weird. But my friend Chris in the background is going like holding in his laugh, like snorting kind of. And he goes, no, that wasn't a little like squirt. That was a puddle on his ass. I feel for this guy because he soberly has peed his pants now and we just met like 2 hours before. So he doesn't return from around the corner, and I get a text from him, and he's like, this is the most embarrassing thing ever, but do you have a towel? And now, my beloved Bruins towel, rest in peace. I had to walk over to my Tinder date and give it to him and get his pee pants back in the car. Yeah, this poor guy, you know, like, he was cool. We had a lot in common. He was super sweet, but he peed his pants. So we had to wrap him in a towel. And at this point, you know, I'm already an hour from Breckenridge and I didn't want to turn around. So I had to go into Walmart and buy my Tinder date dry pants because he was wearing his pee pants. So
we had to, couldn't he buy himself pants? Because
he was wearing his pee pants. He couldn't go into a Walmart like that. So
went in. Okay.
Yeah. My friend Chris and I go in and like pick him out some ugly, cheap swim trunks and we go to this hike. So this is where like the final nail in the coffin comes in again with my sense of humor of a teenager.
I love how the pee pants wasn't the final nail. I love how it gets worse.
I assure you he didn't shit his pants. So we'll just top it with that. Yeah. But so as we're driving, have you ever heard of the band Roughneck Riot?
No.
They're from England. They're a really good punk band. If you haven't listened to them, they're called Roughneck Riot. But so my thing's on shuffle, and the song from them comes on called Pissing in the Wind. And oh, I couldn't, you know, like, again, I'm polite, but I'm like, like, trying to hold in this laugh. And he, you know, like, he doesn't have a sense of humor about it. Like, if I peed my pants, like, you have to find fun in it. Like, so he didn't laugh or anything, and you hear my friend Chris in the background going, like, laughing, whatever. So we do the hike. We have a grand old time. We grab, like, dinner afterwards. And then at the end of the date, he tried to walk me to my door and give me a kiss. And I did, like, this weird ass-out hug. Like, and he kind of went in for a kiss, and I was like, no, thank you. So that was, like, my first time, I think, ever even meeting someone from Tinder, and they pissed themselves.
Oh my God.
Okay, but I'm gonna play devil's advocate here because
you're not the only one.
Was he awesome? Like, he had an accident. Like, was he awesome otherwise?
Time out. If your husband pissed his pants on your first date, would you have created beautiful children and been where you are right now? Oh, come on.
I don't know.
Okay, see here's the thing that's different about me. And any of my friends that are listening right now know that, like, if someone, if they or anyone they know shits their pants, it's pretty much the biggest gift you can give me by telling me the story. Because
for humor's sake,
nothing
really
makes
funny.
Me laugh harder than someone shitting their pants. It's always funny.
Yeah.
It's always entertaining. I'm always glad it's not me. I think if I went on a first date and we were totally into each other and he maybe shit his pants, I feel like I might give him a second chance. Is that bad?
So a lot of people said that. You know, I mean, there were some other things too. Forgive me if either of you are vegan, but he was like also like a vegan cyclist. And I'm like, no. Like, give me a steak. You know, I ride bikes. I don't cycle. Like, I'm not that pretentious. So, I mean, like, he was cool. We had a lot in common. It's funny, I went back for a friend's wedding in Denver a couple months ago, and we were walking down South Broadway, and I remember that he used to work at a bar there, and like two bars down, there's like a little rockabilly punk rock bar, and I saw him smoking out on the patio, and I was like, avoid eye contact, keep walking.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
He was a nice guy, and we left things nothing but kosher. Like, the hike was awesome. He just didn't have a sense of humor about him. Like, Oh my God.
That makes a big difference too. Yeah. I would be laughing the entire time.
I embarrass myself on a daily basis. Yeah. And the only reason I'm still alive is because I have a sense of humor. Like sometimes you have to make light of situations. You know,
you do.
Not the best first impression. The joke, he pissed away his chance at a second date. No, so that was the first time I ever met someone from Tinder. Ever since then, like, I off and on go through phases where I have, like, the account active.
Yeah.
But I don't really, like, actively use it. Like, the reason we're all talking today, too, is, like, I've gone out with this guy who's adorable. Like, I actually think he's a little out of my league. Like, he's handsome, fantastic smile, and he's funny. We met, and it was, like, really, like, good chemistry. But he makes fun of me, like, viciously for liking ska music. And I'm like, I fucking love ska. And I, like, had to tell him, I'm like, it's not all Real Big Fish, you know? Like, I was like, you know, I like Westbound Train, which is very soulful. And I love the Slackers. Like, I like a little bit of the reggae hint to things. I was like, but then again, I love Streetlight Manifesto. They're one of my favorite bands. But that's kind of more punk rock, a little, you know? And he won't let it go. Like, he introduced me to one
What's
of his friends.
What's his problem with it, though? Like, what does he have to say? I've never heard somebody not like ska. Like, everyone loves ska. Like, it's just ska. Like, what could he possibly say that's bad about it?
Well, I'm like, you try to put, like, 11 dudes on a stage and make it sound good. For, you know, like, it's great. They're talented. Yeah. I don't know. Like, we bond over, like, he likes honky-tonk and, like, older country, which I can dig. Like, we went to a really cool show last week. But then again, so the whole reason we're talking again is he admitted when we were out drinking that he likes Linkin Park. And he's like, they're really talented. He's like, they're a really talented band. Now,
right.
Of course, with recent incidents, like, rest in peace to the singer. Like, I'm not, you know, but I've just never liked them. Like, to me, I'm like, oh, cock rock. Oh, I hate cock rock. Like, radio cock rock really hurts my soul.
Yeah.
So, again, not to be judgy, like, we have fun, we're going out again tonight, but I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Who hates on
What are you doing with him? What are you doing with him tonight?
We're going to go play bingo at Red Rock. I'm going to win some big money.
That's fun.
I know, I'm addicted. I won $300 last week, and now I just can't get enough.
I've only played bingo once, and it was at, like, an elementary school fundraiser.
Oh, yeah.
And my daughter was like, Mom, let's go get cotton candy. Mom, let's go do face painting. And I was like, I'm busy. And I was like,
well, when you ladies are here, that's another thing I'm trying to put together is a punk rock bingo night. Because it's like, it's mind blowing that, like, in one game, that game that I won last week, I was supposed to win $1,000, but two other people won. So I had to split it. Still, $300 is rad. So we could get silly drunk and play some bingo.
For sure. That would be awesome.
Things to look forward to. But yeah.
I would like that.
So not to get off subject, but yeah, dating's kind of, it's like this weird thing. And it's like, again, I'm not pretentious. I'm not trying to judge someone. But I'm like, man, don't introduce me as your friend that has shitty taste in music. Cause that's like my bread and butter. Like, I go to shows all the time. I love music and I've never been introduced to someone who has bad taste. I'm like, oh, my heart and soul.
If some guy introduced me as, hey, this is Jessica and she has shitty taste in music, I'd be like, I'd punch him in the nuts. Well, I wouldn't because I'm too nice. I'd buy him pee pants at Walmart. But I would still be pissed.
Oh.
I would be pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's been an interesting one.
That's
it's
a tough
so funny.
One.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I'm not picky, but and then, like, we were joking, like, Tinder in Vegas, it's like either, like, really fit tan guys. Or there's, like, people whose their profile says they're, like, 28 to 32, but I'm like, you look like you're, like, almost 50. Like, you could tell they do a lot of hard drugs or something, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really weird. Like, so Jessica and I were never, we were never into the Tinder thing. Like, we missed that whole thing. So,
yeah.
I don't even know what it's like to be on Tinder or something. My gay best friend is single, and so he'll show me Grindr, and literally he can fuck someone every single night. He's just like, yep, this guy is my Monday night guy, this guy is my Tuesday night guy. And it's fun because I can go on his phone and, like, I'm like, I'll swipe left or right for guys that I think are hot, like, on his gay site, you know? And so it's kind of fun.
It's so
fun. I can see how it would be addicting, kind of.
Yeah.
But it would be really hard in Vegas. Like, people are just there for the weekend, right? And they're all
Well, anytime I match with someone that seems like-minded, it sucks because they're just visiting and they go back to wherever home is. Exactly. For me too, like, I don't want to, like, again, like, too much personal information on here, but in a nutshell, I guess this isn't something to be too ashamed of, maybe just a little bit, but I took a 2-year plus hiatus of, like, zero dating. Like, until this past spring, like, I hadn't even, like, kissed another human, pretty much. Like, I took a full 2 years off. I went through a terrible breakup with someone I was madly in love with. Like, I found the other me, and so I thought. And so 2 years off. So, like, being on Tinder in Vegas, too, is, like, an intimidating thing. Like, I don't have much self-confidence. I actually struggle a lot with anxiety. So I'm an outgoing person, but, like, I have my own self-doubt. So, like, you know, I don't really... a lot of people do use it as, like, a hookup app. So that's another thing, is I'm, like, super hesitant.
Okay, and on a side note, anybody that's listening, like, before we signed on tonight, I was like, okay, first of all, I'm wearing a toque, aka a beanie, as you Americans call it.
A toque,
because
that's
my
cute.
Headphones pick up my audio, and it's like, there's all this thing. But I was like, Sarah is so insanely drop dead cute and adorable that I was like, I feel like I need to put makeup on and put on a shirt for her and, like,
I'm
put on
sweatpants.
A bra, because I was like, yeah, but looking at you, you're,
well, you're
so ridiculously
cute,
right? Kristen and I often, I remember when we first started interviewing,
as I make like a job on the hot face,
like, we would sign in before an interview, and we would both be in our bathrooms, we'd both be putting on makeup and picking out our shirts and stuff. And now I'm like, pajama pants, no bra, wearing a beanie, don't give a fuck. You
I got
see
sweats
and you look
and a hoodie
adorable.
On. Well, thank you. I appreciate
but
that.
But that's just the way you look. I can tell. Like, you're just a really pretty girl. And we should say too, sorry to embarrass that Sarah's gonna, like, fucking kill us. But, like, because 80% of our audience is male, if anyone wants Sarah's, like, information, I'm happy to
come
along.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I've been single for a while.
She has beautiful makeup and adorable hair and bangs. Plus she knows music well. So, okay.
And she snowboards. Wait, so do you,
if
you still snowboard, or do you have an injury?
I ski and snowboard still, but of course in Vegas it's pretty limited. But I fly back to Colorado in 12 days. Yay. So I have,
okay, so if someone wants to apply to date our co-Mabel here, they need to have good taste in music.
Yes,
they need to wear Depends. They need to
Or just speak up. Like, if you have to go, just say you have to go,
or just be like,
I have no
hey,
shame, I have to go to the bathroom,
pull over, man.
Over.
They need to, what else do they need? They need
to be a manly man.
They need to be funny.
They need to ride a bike, not cycle. They need to ride a bike, but not cycle.
Is it just me? Does it just not sound pretentious? Is there, like, I don't know. Like,
I'm a cycler.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's because, like, I used to downhill bike. I'm like, I ride bikes. I play bikes.
But aren't cyclers too, like, super lean?
Yeah, see, I'm chubby. I don't want to ride.
Well,
I don't want to cycle.
That's my point. I don't think I could date. I don't think I could be with a guy who was super, super lean and So he probably was like a toothpick. I'd be like, no, I'm sorry.
No,
yeah, he was a little guy.
Sorry. If I could crush you, if I'm above you, it's not happening.
If you could what? Oh yeah, no. Well, that's my problem.
If
too,
I could
is,
crush
like,
you.
I really like chubby guys, and, like, in Vegas, everyone's really fit. Like, the dad bod thing.
Oh,
give me that soft body.
Yeah, I like that.
I am 5'7" and 100 and almost pregnancy weight pounds.
Oh my fucking god.
And I enjoy a solid bag of chips and a couple beers. Nobody else need apply.
Right.
As I'm sitting here.
Oh, and meat in a casing. Jessica, he does not eat meat in a casing. You could never date that guy.
No. If you don't eat a hot dog.
Right.
Or salami. Or prosciutto. Or Landjager sausage. If you have zero inclination for a love of processed cheap meat.
Right.
Not happening.
Oh, man. I think that we all have similar tastes, and it's very strange.
It's fantastic. So we're going to hang out at Punk Rock Bowling, aren't we?
Oh my God, yes, please. I will be your personal Punk Rock Bowling concierge.
Oh, I'm so excited.
That's
are you going to stay on property or are you going to be like stay at your house?
I think I'll probably get a hotel because I'm in the Southwest area, so it's kind of like it'll be an expensive cab ride. So I'll probably get a hotel downtown and hang out. But yeah, before I moved out here, I would fly out every year for it. And it's so fun. It's like the most convenient festival you could ever do. Like everything's walking distance. The pool parties are rad, except for they got rid of the bigger pool. So now it's like you have to sell your soul to get in.
Except for the fact that I have to put on a bathing suit.
Girl!
Am I allowed to wear a burka to the pool party?
I'm plus size and I walk around like, cannonball! Yeah, you'll be fine if we could even get in. But those are awesome. The festival itself is super rad. And then the club shows, if you can get your hands on tickets, are always the best. So it's like some mornings you start at 9 a.m. and you don't get back to the hotel till like 3, 4 in the morning. But it really is such a fun time. Like, so you guys are going to love it.
I think I
just really want to like, and Chris and I have talked about on the podcast how we don't love festivals, but I think for me,
I'm using my hoodie.
Doesn't look like you peed. Doesn't look like you peed.
No, I didn't get that far.
No, she just wiped her face with her hoodie. I'm looking at Punk Rock Bowling as like, I'm not going to, like, stress about, okay, so if, like, there's a face-to-face show, I have to be there early, I have to be there on time, you know? But I think Punk Rock Bowling is just going to be, like, just enjoy whatever's
It's a free-for-all.
And yeah, and just go with it.
Last year, I was like, all right, you're getting a little too old, like, because I get tired. Every year, I get so sick. I call it the Vegas plague. Like, I lose my voice by day two. So this year, I'm like, all right, or last year, you're not going to do more than one club show. You've got to like pick and choose. Wrong. I double dipped the first night and then I went every single night to a club show, and at the end of the week and I still had no voice and everything. That's a lie. I double dipped two nights. But like, it's like a free for all. Like someone says, all right, well, do you want to go do this? And you're like, yeah, sure. Cause again, like everything's so fucking convenient that you can get anywhere. Some other festivals, like I've always wanted to go to the fest, but I heard like, it's kind of a haul. I mean, I just got to go one of these times. I don't know. There are particular festivals I've always wanted to do.
So wait, but like, so Sarah, it involves. So a beautiful girl like you is hanging out at all these shows. How, like, do you get hit on all the time? Do you, like, how do you not? How are you not dating all the time, guys you meet at shows?
Yeah,
I feel like I
want to date you.
Do you guys get hit on at shows? I don't know. I feel like there's a camaraderie at shows that, like, I'm friendly. Like, I talk to people. Like, I mean, I moved here knowing one person and now I can go out and see like 20 people I know. Like, I'm friendly, but maybe I'm naive, but I don't get hit on. But again, like, I don't know, not a confident person. Maybe I'm dumb, but, I would like to.
Yeah, oh my gosh, the three of us are so much alike.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be cool to meet someone at a show, cause you already know that you at least have one thing in common when being there. Huh? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I just stand there by myself and like text on my phone to look like I'm busy, but I'm really not, and I'm just shy. That's what I do at shows.
See, if I haven't had my two beers, that's yeah.
I've never been to a show by myself.
No?
Oh my God, no, but how I grew up was very different. Like, I grew up in a very small town where the closest show was like, you know, 8 to 10 hours away. So it was always like quite the big adventure to go to a show. Like, we would, you know, five of us would pile in a car or that sort of thing. So I've never just had a show 20 minutes away that I could go to. So it's always a group thing.
Growing up in rural New Hampshire, like, it was kind of the same thing, like a little commute. Like, it was never convenient. I guess in my adult life, like, now it's different, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's hard to meet like-minded people. And when you do, it's like, yes, let's be friends. But like, it's never been like, I don't know. It's not like a romantic thing going to a punk show for me. It's never really been that way. Right. Yeah.
No, it's your co-Mabel.
Co-Mabel. I need a co-Mabel.
Yeah. Oh, well,
the more the merrier. You have us. Yeah, the more the merrier, for sure.
Woohoo.
So, well, thank you for joining us on this love episode.
I hope you guys get some funnier stories.
I hope you find a guy that loves ska and loves good music, or at least can appreciate it and doesn't pee his pants and can be a guy's guy, because you deserve it.
I don't know. If a guy could one-up him and, like, shit their pants and make light of it, good for you. But you have to laugh it off. Laugh it off, dudes.
Sold. Sold.
Yeah, and then you'd take a picture, send it to Jessica.
Ew.
And it would complete my day. I'd be so completely thrilled.
Ladies,
and side note, any listeners want to send me your pants shitting stories?
Oh my god.
Not to the Mabel Syndrome account, just to Jessica's. Oh, I have no interest.
Send it to the Mabel Syndrome.
Challenge accepted.
we're gonna get like one story and it's gonna be like, oh man.
I know. I told you. Actually, I went snowboarding last weekend and I had to stop to go to the bathroom at a road stop or whatever, a gas station on the side of the road. And I go and walk in the convenience store and there's two women standing outside the women's room and they're going, "Don't go in there. Something horrible happened in there. You do not want to go in." And I had to pee so bad. It was the same thing. I almost peed my pants, but I had to get back in the car, drive to the next rest stop because they were like, "Something horrible happened in there," and I don't know unless
someone has been slaughtered from like left to right on their stomach and their intestines are hanging out. It doesn't matter what people say to me. I'm still going in there.
Again, going back to what I mentioned earlier, I'm like, I have no shame. Just say it. There's nothing worse than pissing yourself. Just say it.
Exactly.
Speak up.
Oh my god. Do you think that he went and told all his friends that happened?
Maybe I was like, what was that like old show called? Like Punked? Like maybe it was all a joke on me. Maybe I'm the one that got fooled. No.
Or like, what would you do? Isn't there a show like What Would You Do or something?
Again, I was nothing but kind to him, you know, but it was just like the universe wanted to embarrass him. Like my soundtrack was like embarrassing him.
No, you know what? If he was the right guy, then peeing his pants wouldn't have made any difference in the story at all. It just would have been a bleep in the story. So, it's just the fact that he wasn't the right guy that's why it was a big deal.
Well, so anybody who goes out with Sarah from here on out, if you have to pee, A, let her know. B, if you piss yourself, be like, "Hey, totally pissed myself. It's cool. I need your help. Do you want to go out on Tuesday?"
Yeah.
Right?
Sarah, if we piss ourselves at Punk Rock Bowling, will you still hang with us the next day?
I'll pack you dry shorts so we don't have to go buy you pee pants.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I'll bring a plain towel so I don't have to, like, give up my favorite Bruins towel.
Yes. Yeah, you know, we'll pack towels and another pair of panties and we'll be fine.
I just didn't know that going on the date I had to like pack like a diaper bag, like I was bringing a child along. So. Oops. Well, you know what? Lesson learned. But honestly, though, like we've been joking. Like I've had some great relationships in the past. Like a lot of them, though, of my adult life have been like, looking back, like weekend boyfriends. Like I was living in Breckenridge, they were in Denver, and I'd only see them every so often. Like, so I'm not gonna bash on everyone in my life. But for the future man, have a sense of humor. Oh man, laugh it off.
Well, if they're listening to the Mabel Syndrome podcast, then they do have a sense of humor. So all of you guys that like funny girls and really pretty girls, then hit us up for Sarah's info. But thank you for sharing your story on our podcast. And will you be a guest again?
I'd love to be, ladies.
Good.
Hopefully next time I'm more electronically sound. And I'm like fearful over here too because I'm kind of getting a cold. And I'm like, what if you're listening to this and I'm like super spitty sounding or like sniffling too loud?
That's how I am.
So like, you know, next time maybe we'll plan better. We should do one when you're here for Punk Rock Bowling.
Oh, we will, for sure.
We should. Hotel room podcast.
Heck yeah.
I'm a little scared of what that might be.
Well, hang on. Let me turn the interview on you guys. So before married life, did you have any dating horror stories? Let your listeners know.
So many. We're going to do that, though.
Is that like the next episode?
You're going to leave me hanging?
We're going to leave you hanging. How about this? The next episode we record,
we will talk about our own stories, and we will let you ask us a couple questions, and we'll read them out.
Oh, that sounds
yeah,
great.
Yeah, come up with some questions. Because I was single all of my 20s. I didn't get married till I was 30. So I have so many dating horror stories. So many.
See, okay, maybe we could do this again, and Sarah could interview us.
Ooh, girls. It's on. I've got some questions.
Right? It's on.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you.
All right, ladies, have a good night.
This was so much fun.
Okay. I know.
Okay.
Thanks for the laughs.